Please turn in your Bibles, your copy of God's Word, to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 22 through 32. Ephesians chapter 5, or if you have a pew Bible handy, it is page 1613. Almost got away there, didn't he? Almost. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, or page 1613 in the pew Bible. I suspect, with perhaps some of you, I'm about to get in trouble. I'm going to talk about marriage from the Bible. And there's one little word here that some of you ladies are going to cue in on, and that's the word submit. Hang on. Listen to me and don't turn me off. The title of this in the continuing series about family ties is Family Ties, A Marriage Made in Heaven. A Marriage Made in Heaven. There are quite a few wonderful marriages that we see around us. Acts of love and acts of giving and acts of just lifelong friendship between man and wife, and they seem to be marriages made in heaven. Conversely, there are quite a few marriages that seem to be made in the other place. And you wonder how two people that apparently hate themselves and each other so much could stay together for so long. But just like the Andy Griffith Show, some folks are just happy to be arguing with each other. A marriage made in heaven. Before I begin, I want to make it perfectly clear that these are not my words. These are not my thoughts. This is coming straight from the Bible. I also want to make it clear that this is something Paul felt compelled to write about, and it is timeless. When a couple joins together, and by the way, another thing I want to clear up, that is man and woman. That's a marriage. Not man and anything else. Not woman and anything else. That is man and woman. When they join together in matrimony, their ideal, their striving for, should be based upon a Christian home. This is two Christians. And it should be this ideal. Doesn't always work out. We are human. We mess up. We get mad. We get bent out of shape over little things. And we lose our way. But the ideal, our roadmap, is here in the Bible. If you found your place in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, we're going to read verses 22 through 24 and break it all up. Let's read. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Oh, there's that word. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Submission. Oh, that's a dirty word. That's a dirty word. You mean I got to submit to him? According to the Bible, yes. What is submission? Does that mean you're a doormat? Nope. Does that mean that he can come in and he can be caveman and beat you up and slap you around and woman, go fix this and get on your knees? No. No. What Paul is talking about is, especially with a Christian couple, submitting to your husband as to the Lord. There has to be a leader in the home. Gentlemen, you'd better be that leader. It's not directed to subjugate women. It's not directed to make women a doormat. It is an imperative, men, to be leaders in the home. Because he says, submit to the Lord as to Christ. If, men, you are acting as a godly example in your home, she's going to follow you. She will. If you're showing Christ-like love to your spouse, she won't have a problem doing anything. Because Christ-like love is sacrificial love. Christ-like love is giving love. Christ-like love is doing everything you can to make her comfortable and let her know she's loved. And if you're doing that, she'll follow you. Can I get an amen, ladies? If he's doing everything he can to make you comfortable and to show you the love of Christ, you'll follow him anywhere. See, guys, I'm not an expert on women, and there's no man alive that is, but I do know one thing. Women love to be wanted and appreciated. They need to be comforted and loved. And if you're showing that to your spouse, again, she's going to follow you to the ends of the earth. We're going to Tanzania. Let's go. Because she knows that you have her best interests at heart. The proposal we have here is holy submission, verse 22, as to Christ. That is, you are following Christ. Your husband is following Christ. And together, you are working as a team. Verse 23. We see a healthy symmetry. A healthy symmetry. Verse 23 again says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Anybody ever seen a chicken run around with its head cut off? Not a very pretty sight, is it? Can't do anything, can it? It can't go anywhere. I don't suppose chickens engage in deep thought anyway, but it can't think. It's just running around, loose, all over, flopping around. And what happens to that chicken with its head cut off eventually? It dies. Christ has ordained that someone lead in the home. He picked man. I don't know why. Man was formed first. I don't know why. When we get to heaven, ladies, if you don't like that, talk to him. I don't know the answer. But I do know the onus is on the man to lead as the head of the household under the submission of Jesus Christ. When the head starts going the wrong way, when the head starts doing things that it shouldn't do, it's not under submission to Christ. And you, ladies, while subject to that, should gently remind him, "Look, honey, I think you're doing the wrong thing. I wouldn't do that." In the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, anybody remember that? She said, "Man is the head, but woman is the neck." It's pretty true. She can turn the head anyway. And you know what, ladies? That's your job, because I'm sorry, guys, we're pretty coarse. You know? Think back to your bachelor days. There are some probably among us that keep neat, clean houses and all that, but pretty much, nah, we don't care. We don't care. Ladies, we need you. But we need to be in symmetry. We need to be in togetherness. We need to be one. A body without a head is useless. A head without a body is also useless. The Bible teaches us that the woman was made for the man, Genesis 2:18 and 1 Timothy 2:13, showing that the divine purpose that the man should be the head and center of the household, and yet he is still under submission of the Lord Jesus Christ and should be an example. The proposal is a holy submission, healthy symmetry, and verse 24, heartfelt support. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Again, as you are submissive to Christ in that he has provided your salvation and you follow him, you should support your husband. You should, because he is human, help him in any way possible. You should be a loving, forgiving wife. I worked for many years in the nursing profession as a nursing assistant. And many times I've heard the stories of the little things that drive two people apart. Well, he didn't even bother to put his socks in the hamper. Well, he didn't do this or he didn't do that. Little stuff that we let tear our marriages apart across the land. Forgive him. Forgive him. Because you follow Christ too. Heartfelt support. That doesn't mean, again, if he's wanting to buy oceanfront property in Arizona, you support that. There's a limit. You are there to be his helper. And helping him to not make stupid decisions is certainly something a Christian wife would do. But if he's trying to follow Christ, encourage him. Slip your arm around him and say, "Honey, I love you. I support you." Heartfelt support. That's the proposal. In verses 25 through 28, we hear the pattern for a marriage made in heaven. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." There's a pattern here. The first thing, gentlemen, is sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. I say it again, if he is laying it on the line day in, day out, if he's going to work, if he's showing you, ladies, the love that he should, there's not a problem. There's not a problem. If he loves you beyond measure and you know it, if he's showing you that, you know, "I'll take a bullet for you, no problem," you will follow him. Gentlemen, it is on us as followers of Jesus Christ to be known as men of true love and worth. What did Christ do to show us sacrificial love? That's what verse 25 is about. Sacrificial love. He gave himself for us. He redeemed us. He lives for us. That's part of the pattern. Verses 26 and 27 speak of sanctifying love. That is, making something holy. Now, guys, we can't make our women holy. We can't. Only God can do that. But we can keep them, and we can protect them from the awfulness of this world. We can see to it that the evil one doesn't enter our homes. We can see to it as men of integrity and love that there is not an occasion that we can do anything about that we can keep them from having problems at home, from having temptations. We cannot sanctify, but we can sure help. We can sure help things from getting any worse than they are in this sin-filled world. What did Christ accomplish? He accomplished that sanctification. He who was holy became sin for us so that we too could become holy and lead righteous lives. He gave himself for us to sanctify us. Verse 28 talks about selfless love. "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." We were talking about this in Sunday school. We don't have a problem loving ourselves, do we? We don't. There's not a one of us that, were we faced with a house burning down around us, wouldn't choose to save our own skin and leave. Now, some of us are forethoughtful enough, if that is a word, to grab a possession, to grab a loved one, whatever, and take them out. But we're concerned about our own safety. We get in cars and we buckle up our seat belts. We don't expect trailers to come flying out, do we? But we have in mind our own safety. We have in mind our own comfort. How many people here sit on a rock at home? Raise your hand. No? You got a favorite chair? Real comfy chair? Yeah, I do too. I love my chair. Got it set up just the way I want it. We think of our own self-comfort. It is no surprise that Paul teaches us that if you love someone as you love yourself, if you show that love, if you show that care, that concern, especially in a marriage situation, that you are following Christ's command. Christ left the comforts and the majesty and the glory of heaven to live in a body that was subject to temptation, although he wasn't tempted. He was subject to disease. He was subject to all the maladies that surround us in this sin-filled world. He gave it all up. So should we. Not only give it up, men, as a lover of your spouse, but give it up, the comfort we think we have, to tell others of the love of Christ. Well, I'm uncomfortable telling them about Jesus. Why? Well, I'm uncomfortable. That's being selfish. We have the cure, truly, for death. We do. There is life eternal in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a physical death. We all will die. We all will die. But to die apart from God is worse than any physical death, any ravage of disease could ever be. It's eternal. Selfless love shows us that we give it up for our spouse. Also, we give it up for those around us. Husbands ought to love their lives as their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You remember standing there in front of that preacher somewhere, guys? And he talks about the two shall become one, till death do you part, all that good stuff. It's true. Two are one. Two are one. If you love her, you love yourself. What type of love did Christ show? In verses 29 through 33, we see the promise. The promise. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What is the promise of all this? Verse 29 teaches us that the promise of this is a healthy home. A healthy home. Today, there are forces about that are seeking to tear down the home and that the home unit. That is the bedrock of a free society. And certainly the bedrock of this country are Christian homes. There is an attack, I think, unlike I have never seen before. A healthy home is a place of nourishment, and a place where you can cherish it and you are cherished. We don't have healthy homes a lot of times in this world. We have broken homes. We have homes where various family members seek to be away because there's nothing there for them. What type of home have you got? Christ would have it that it would be a home where we are loved, where we are cherished, because He does that with His family, and His family is the church. Sadly, we have churches today that it's more of a pain than a pleasure to come to church. It's more of a drudgery than a joy. It should not be so, ladies and gentlemen. The church, your home, should be a place where you can come and be refreshed and feel loved and cared about. The promise is, if we follow Christ, if we follow His example one with another, not only will our homes be great, but our church will be great too, because the church is made up of individuals and individual households. The promise is a healthy home. The promise in verses 30 through 32 is a heavenly host. Paul makes it clear we are members of His body and of His flesh. That means that around the world today, churches that are celebrating Jesus Christ and worshiping Him, we're part of that. Whether it's Africa, Australia, Asia, Iceland, wherever, we're part of the church universal for those that name the name of Jesus Christ. You have brothers and sisters that you have never met before because they too are children of God. And you have people down through the ages that have been martyrs and great witnesses that you will one day meet and in heaven worship with. That's pretty amazing. Oftentimes we do come from broken homes that the disease of sin has allowed to enter and destroy what was once a happy and wonderful marriage. But yet, isn't it a wonderful thing that as a child of God, you have brothers and sisters, not only in this congregation, but brothers and sisters in Christ that you have never met. Paul uses the analogy of marriage again. A man shall be joined to his wife after he leaves his father and mother. As Christ left His Father to come to earth, to live in a body, to be fully man and fully God, and one day will come back to claim His bride, the church. He says in verse 32, it's a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. I can't explain it either. I don't have the wisdom or the words to teach you what that means, but I do know. I do know that Christ is coming back one day for His bride. And I do know that that day will be a glorious day. I do know that it will be a wonderful day. I do know that it will be a day filled with joy and wonderment, unlike this world has ever seen. We are the one body. And as a body, we need to stop fighting one another and live in Christian harmony. Finally, verse 33. Healthy home, a heavenly host. We see what our highest heartbeat should be. What our highest heartbeat should be. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember seeing him or her the first time and really seeing him through the lens of love and falling in love with him or her? That's pretty good, wasn't it? Your heart got a little bit quicker when you saw your future beloved. You were thinking about them. You were getting all giggly and goofy and writing little love notes or whatever it was you did. Where is that love gone? What about your salvation experience? Your becoming a child of God? Have you gotten over that too? Are you as excited about God's love piercing through the darkness and entering your life as the day you got saved? Or is it just a dull, humdrum existence and, oh well. What is your highest heartbeat for today? The Bible teaches us in verse 33, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Paul has just finished telling us that we are the bride of Christ. We must love and respect our spouses as Christ loves and respects us. But we must love as the bride of Christ our Savior even more. We must love and respect the one who has given everything to us. It basically boils down to this. The husband loves the wife as himself. She respects him because of that love. And she loves him as she loves her Savior. Family ties. Marriage made in heaven. It's possible. It's possible. Family ties. As the bride of Christ, do you have a marriage made in heaven? Or has your relationship with Christ become strained? As Miss Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation, I would invite you to examine what the Scripture has spoken to you today. If there's something you need to fix about your relationship, whether this earthly one or your heavenly one, the altar is open for you today. If you have not become a child of God, if this is all just gobbledygook to you, I'd be glad to explain it to you. The one who loves you and died for you wishes you to be with him forever. And if you wish to join with this local body of believers, we'd love to accept you today. Please stand and sing hymn number 310, The Solid Rock. Hymn number 310.